This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! We get some meatloaf!
You're insane. You're absolutely insane.
My palace.
My house isn't even a stained spread. It's
for shit.
Are you telling me?
What did
I? I don't know what we're yelling about!
Now, if you don't think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw them off that.
One time for the killers.
Whoa.
Double up for them gangsters.
Just living the dream.
Hi, I'm Bill White, and welcome to Chicago Bulldog.
I gotta be honest, I come in, it's like a little, like, I'm trying to get my bearings,
it's
cartoons, your mom, and it's like, you still got it. It's living the dream.
Tim, thanks again for joining the Bullseye. It's fantastic to have you on. You've been, the feedback we've been getting on in our conversations has been just stellar. So anytime you give us is greatly appreciated. Tim, I'd like to get your opinion on a brief draft recap. Starting out with the Bulls draft pick of Portis, have you seen him? What's your opinion of him? And then also, if you don't mind, highlight some of the winners, the sleepers, and the duds of the draft.
Absolutely, Fred. Well, good to be back on with you. And, yeah, we'll start off with the Bulls and the selection of Bobby Portis. And I do like the pick. And a couple reasons. And I've not seen him play in person, so I'll qualify that. I have watched Arkansas play a few times, before this, and then looked at some film of him after the draft selection. And, they had two pretty dynamic players on their team, Portis and a guy named Qualls, who ended up getting injured. He had declared for the draft, but injured his Achilles. So not sure where he'll end up, but they both look like definite pro prospects when you watched Arkansas play. You know, the player that, and I love to compare guys to other players or players from past eras. And when I look at him, he reminds me a lot of Robert Horry, who's another SEC player, of course, from Alabama, and fans will know him from his championships from multiple teams, actually. And the
seven vitals,
big shot Bob, right? And and just seeing Portis' ability to shoot the ball from distance reminded me of that. Even his release is similar to Robert Horry. But a guy that's an SEC Player of the Year, which is a conference loaded with great athletes, a lot of NBA-like athletes. Now, not all of them may be as polished as that, but to be the SEC Player of the Year at 6'11 and be available at the 22nd pick, I think it was great news for the Bulls. The other thing about him that I really like is he was coached and mentored by Corliss Williamson, who was a very crafty NBA player, not a star NBA player, but a key guy on some of those Sacramento Kings teams with Chris Webber,
right,
and Vlade and White Chocolate, Jason Williams, and then has been coaching at the college level and at the NBA level, actually. He'd been involved with the Kings and on their staff, and also coached as an assistant at Arkansas, and of course was on Arkansas's championship team, Nolan Richardson. So the fact that a real pro, and I think of Corliss Williamson as a pro's pro, right? So he wasn't a superstar, an all-star, but had a really nice, solid NBA career and kind of knows what it takes to succeed at that level. So I'd give that pick an A, especially a guy of that talent level being available at 22.
Good to hear. It's interesting that you mentioned you thought he had that. I mean, Robert Horry is one of the best, in my opinion, big men shooters, outside shooters, a guy with a ton of big shots, pretty versatile player, and he reminded you of him. He had that good of a jumper, in your opinion, huh?
He does. Yeah. So now, obviously the Bulls are pretty stacked on the front line, so what his role is going to be and how much playing time he's going to get. Obviously, if Tibbs was coaching, we wouldn't see him at all. But maybe with Fred Hoiberg in charge now, we'll see some development of him. Even if he's not going to be a heavy minutes guy in the playoffs, you and I have talked about that McDermott, I thought the year was pretty much wasted, right? And even if he wasn't totally ready, right, you could sneak some minutes in for him to develop him. And so hopefully there'll be more of a role for Portis, even as a rookie, for the Bulls.
Amen. Do you see him more as a power forward when he settles into the NBA? I mean, I saw him handle the ball surprisingly well. I was kind of shocked at how well in some of the highlights I saw he handled the ball. Or do you think he could play the three? Or is he more of a, you know, this guy's a power forward?
I could see him playing some three as well. I didn't go back and look on his true measurement. I know online he's listed at 6'11", and those draft measurements, that'd be one to take a look at. So, but the fact that he must be a legitimate 6'10", 6'11", but is as fluid as he is, I could see him playing some three on occasion, depending on matchups. And again, we've talked about the way the NBA is moving and the hybrid players, and maybe even a guy like him is playing a four in certain circumstances, right? Kind of in a Draymond Green like role, if he's got that kind of versatility. I don't know if Portis is bringing the ball up the court, that kind of thing, but even playing a five in some cases if you're going small.
Amen. So how about the bust of the draft, the picks you like, the sleepers? Maybe highlight some of the teams and players that undrafted that you were really impressed with, and the other ones that were, not so special.
Sure. Yeah, I'll kind of run through the top 10 picks. I think it was fairly predictable in the top 10 selections with a few exceptions. One is, how many years is a talent like Jahlil Okafor not the first pick of the draft? I mentioned in a previous podcast when I saw him play in high school. Again, he was still developing at Whitney Young, but playing out in Orange County in a showcase game. And I remember saying to my friend that I was with at the game, I said, well, whatever year that guy comes out, he's the number one pick. Right? It was, I thought it was that obvious. And, and I think most years he would be. Towns, there's certainly a strong case for that. And then, the Lakers, which we can get to in a minute, are trying to do something a little different. Their franchise is on some rocky roads right now, and so Russell, I think, maybe has more star potential and more flair, and in a market like LA, that's important. Along with winning, you want somebody that you can market and have a game that obviously going back to Magic Johnson, right? Somebody that's a showtime kind of player, and I think Russell has that kind of flair and court vision and talent too, but we'll see what they put around them to try to make that work. The Knicks with Porzingis, the New York fans boo at everything, right? And there's no quick fix there. So, I thought the images were kind of funny of the fans with the thumbs down and the kid who was distraught, that they picked him. But at this point, watching the draft year after year, that's pretty predictable, right? No matter who the Knicks would have picked,
Well, plus, I don't know if you saw the Grantland special on Porzingis, but, he impressed the hell out of me in that special. I thought he was, he was a lot more athletic. People, just initial first glance after you hear about him, I'm like, oh, this is, Bargnani squared, right? Just the second coming of Bargnani. He was far more athletic than Bargnani in the clips I saw. And, I was really impressed with his jumper, and just the interview with the kid I thought was pretty impressive. Who knows if New York's going to eat him up, but talent-wise, where do you find a 7-footer who can move like that and hit the jumpers like that? Pretty impressive.
Right. Right. And I think, again, there's no quick fix in New York, and, why not take a chance on someone like that has that kind of talent and youth? And you're right. I thought the interviews, he seemed very grounded. I've heard some interviews with his brother who's been mentoring him and coaching him. And, they seem to have a very good perspective of what's going on and what it's going to take to succeed. So he's going to be a fun one to watch. The Knicks aren't going to be challenging for a championship anytime soon anyway. So hopefully he just doesn't get crushed by the expectations and losing, that there'll be some opportunity for him to develop. Kind of moving down the rest of the first round, I've not been a Willie Cauley-Stein fan, although him going to Sacramento just seemed like a perfectly bad pick for the dysfunctionality there, right? You're already hearing about yeah. George Karl potentially getting fired because he's at it with DeMarcus Cousins already. So that's such a mess in Sacramento that it just seemed almost too obvious of a pick, and
let's stop there for just a second, because I do want to get your opinion on DeMarcus Cousins. And, you know, if you were running that organization over there, how would you handle that situation? Are you a DeMarcus Cousins believer? Are you a George Karl man? Would you trade him for assets? I'd like to get your opinion on Cousins.
Well, I think he is talented, but I think they missed their window when they fired Mike Malone. It seemed like they were on a good path there. Malone and Cousins were on the same page, and and it seemed like the Kings. And I know there were some injuries and some other things that happened, and then a very short fused owner, and they blew Mike Malone out of there. Who Mike Malone is now the head coach of the Nuggets, so he wasn't out for long, and somebody else recognized his talent. So I just remember seeing Cousins when Kentucky got beat his 1 year at Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, and his lackluster interview at the post-game press conference, how they do at the NCAA tournament where they're at the podium. And I just remember thinking to myself, boy, I'd hate to be the PR director of whatever NBA team ends up with him, because just the attitude and
exactly. Yeah,
very, very, very concerning, right? So, if I were the Kings at this point, I would see if I could get assets for him, because I think the headaches that come along with him outweigh his talent, and obviously they're still losing, right? They're gonna win 25 to 30 games with him or without him.
So, I would immediately, I'm calling the Lakers and saying, give me Russell and Randall for Cousins, and it's a deal. I don't understand why they would even hesitate at that. I think that's a fair deal, a very good deal, getting Russell and Randall for him. And I don't know how you feel about Julius Randall. What, really quickly on that before we get back to the draft.
Right. Well, I think Randall definitely has some potential. And, obviously coming back from the injury is going to be a question mark. But, if I was Sacramento, I would take that deal, especially the Lakers coming up empty in free agency, which is kind of becoming an annual trend now with the Lakers, right? With inability to keep Dwight Howard, they courted Carmelo, and it was funny last night. I'm out here on the West Coast and driving home on one of the sports talk stations in LA. They were having the free agent watch, like something big was going to happen, for the Lakers. And nothing happened, right? In fact, it was bad news, right? There's talk about LaMarcus Aldridge not impressed by what the Lakers are presenting, or what the LA Laker situation is right now, which is no surprise really to a lot of us, right? There's an aging, selfish Kobe that is the centerpiece of things, right? And the rest of the roster are guys that, I was thinking would have a hard time standing out playing in the D-League showcase or something, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I like Russell. Obviously he's an interesting talent. Randall was hurt, so I'm not really including those two guys on that list. But, and Clarkson showed some flashes of maybe, being an NBA starter, caliber player on a decent team. But, it just – and the other
Nick
thing
Young,
with the Lakers –
come on. Yeah, I agree.
So I'm almost afraid the Lakers are at a point where they're going to have to roll the dice on doing something like Cousins and see if that changes it. I don't know. That would be an interesting trade. I think Sacramento is such a mess that it would make sense to get a 2-for-1 like that. And I wouldn't want DeMarcus Cousins on my roster. So, There's too much baggage that outweighs the talent.
Great stuff.
Couple other quick thoughts on the draft, too. I thought Moutier sliding to 7, Denver had to be thrilled with that, right? Because he was talked about as a potential top 5 pick, or even in the top 3, his name came up a few times. Detroit at 8 with Stanley Johnson, that was a pretty safe pick. He's probably the best, the best college player or draft eligible player on the West Coast that I saw, and that's where I had him. I don't know if he's a superstar, but we'll be a solid player. At 9, Kaminsky going to Charlotte. It's nothing against Kaminsky, but they already have Cody Zeller, who in my mind is a very similar kind of player. So I don't know if they're going to move Zeller, but he and Kaminsky just seem a lot alike. 6'11", 7-foot guys, formerly from the Big Ten. shooters, not necessarily a post-up presence, but more of a shooter. You know, both good players and players I like, but I just thought it was odd to take Frank when you had someone so similar, especially passing on Justice Winslow, who slipped all the way to 10, which
yeah.
that was probably the most shocking thing to me in the draft, that he slipped that far. I could have seen him going as early as 4 to the Knicks, and just that 9 teams passed on Justice Winslow is surprising to me. And even with Charlotte with the pick before, the only thing I figured is maybe Jordan just can't pick a Duke guy, you know,
yeah.
with his North Carolina roots. He just couldn't bring himself to do it, even though Winslow was on the board. So I got to have to believe Pat Riley in Miami were thrilled that Justice Winslow was there. And I kind of thought back to Paul Pierce when he slipped to number 10 in the draft where he came out. And you know, I don't know if Justice Winslow is on that kind of trajectory as a, you know, Hall of Fame player like Paul Pierce, but they had to be thrilled that he was there at 10.
I keep on going back to what you said in a previous episode where I know Winslow measured in at 6'4.5" in the Chicago rookie, you know, symposium or whatever that's called, but I think that hurt his draft status, and I just kept on saying to myself, well, like you had said, they don't play basketball without their shoes on. You know, he's still 6'6", built well. You know, come on, what was not to like? But at 10, I think that is a steal.
Just a couple other final thoughts on the draft in terms of, you know, I know some of my NBA insiders, they really like sons of ex-players. And obviously with Curry and Thompson being, you know, fresh in everyone's mind. And so with Phoenix getting Devin Booker, his dad was Melvin Booker that played at Missouri and played in the NBA a little bit. So I thought that was a nice pick. I had Larry Nance Jr. very high in my Western U.S. draft eligible players. And he ended up getting picked by the Lakers in the first round. And I don't think many mock drafts had him as a first round at all. But obviously the son of an ex-player. And then and the other thing I thought was interesting that the Bucks passed on Sam Decker. You know, they had Decker went the pick right after Milwaukee's choice where they took Rashad Vaughn, who I like. I think that's a very solid pick. But it certainly would have been a popular choice for the Bucks to take a Wisconsin, you know, born and raised star like Sam Decker. But the fact that the Bucks passed on him, I think really leads me to believe that Milwaukee really wants to win. Right?
Yeah,
so they're not making a PR selection. They're making a pick of people that, you know, they're going to help them win.
Great point. Great point. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and I think Milwaukee's one of those teams that's quietly on the rise, right, where they just signed Greg Monroe, they re-signed Middleton, they've got Jabari Parker coming back from injury. So, you know, with new ownership there, you know, it's you know, fairly new ownership, and Jason Kidd, it just seems like that's a team and franchise that's on the rise.
Great point. I didn't know about Milwaukee. I didn't even think about it, but you like Vaughn a lot. Could you just go a little bit really quickly, give a little description of his game? Because I 100% agree with you that I am kind of concerned about that team kind of rising up pretty quickly.
Right. Well, and they gave the Bulls a hard time in the playoffs this year, right? So,
sure.
Yeah, the, you know, the Rashad Vaughn play-alike that I had in my draft assessment was Bradley Beal. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't know if his upside is Bradley Beal, but he's a, you know, a 2-3, you know, position. It can rise up and shoot from distance, you know, a real smooth game. And again, probably, you know, playing at UNLV and out west wasn't on the radar as much as, you know, somebody playing in the Big Ten or the Big East or ACC or something. But I did see him play in a high school showcase called Elite 24 game that they played a few years out here at Venice Beach. It's now played back in New York. But I saw him play as he was entering his junior year of high school in that showcase, and he looked really good then. And you know, I was very impressed with him. So I like Rashad Vaughn, and I thought around where Milwaukee picked him was where he was worthy of being picked, maybe even a little bit higher.
Wow, great insight there. So he's a shooter. I mean, that's where I thought Milwaukee was really lacking, is they just needed another guy who could light it up from distance.
Right.
Defend, you know, a 3-and-D type of guy.
Right. Yeah, he was just 1 year at UNLV, so he's still pretty young. But you know, I think the Bucks have enough pieces already in place that they can bring him along and develop him. You know, I like that the Bucks also picked up Grievous Vasquez. I know we'll get into that more in our free agent and other acquisition discussions later. But I just kind of like what Milwaukee's doing and kind of slowly and quietly putting some interesting pieces together.
Man, I can't thank you enough, Tim, for coming on again. I really appreciate it. Just one last question, if that's okay. Can you tell me which player out of this entire draft in 5 years you're going to say, if you had to put your money down right now, this was the best guy in the draft?
My hunch is it's either going to be Russell or Winslow.
Interesting.
The big guys, you know, Towns and Okafor obviously could get there as well, but just from what I've seen and the kind of players that are, you know, leading teams deep into the playoffs, like we talked about, those hybrid kind of players, Russell and Winslow seem to fit that mold as much as anybody in that top 10 or so of players taken.
Concerning that Miami's a team on the rise, then, sounds like, in your opinion.
Well, it's interesting. You know, they're in my view, I think they're in a similar predicament with Wade like the Lakers are with Kobe, right? Although I think Miami does have some better pieces, and I think they've managed their roster better. And I think their front office situation is a little more solid. But, yeah, I think with Wade, you know, he wants his payday, but how are you going to put pieces around him? How are you going to afford to get, either through free agency or trade, you know, get enough other pieces to challenge for a championship? And when you've got that big outlier contract like the Lakers have with Kobe and Miami, you know, is dealing with now with Wade, I'm just concerned of how that's all going to play out, not only from a salary cap and roster standpoint, but from just how, if Wade ends up feeling slighted, what that might mean just to the chemistry of the team.
Right. Well, Tim, thanks again for coming on. I know you got to run. We'll have you on next week for the free agency discussion. Great input as usual, and we really, really appreciate you taking your time to come on the Bullseye. All the best to you, brother.
You too, Fred. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.